Incredible. Really exciting. So much going on. So much so that I prepared a shorter message, which is a miracle in and of itself. So I thought, hey, all this stuff is great. Let's talk about and celebrate all these other things. But I do still want to start our new series today. So just to kind of frame it a little bit, I was thinking about emails and how one of the worst things about coming back from holidays is checking your emails. How many are there going to be? How long is it going to take you to process through them? All the subscriptions and newsletters and updates and spam and individual emails and group conversations that you need to either reply to or at least comprehend and understand or realize you don't need that and delete it. How long is that going to take? So much information. Now, there are a couple of ways that you might choose to deal with this, because these days you don't need to wait to go back to work. All throughout your holidays, you could just keep checking the emails and processing them and carry that responsibility throughout your holidays if that's what you want to do. Or you could be like a guy I worked with years ago who went on long service leave. He was away for 2 or 3 months and his email auto-reply, what you saw when what you got back when you emailed him was, I'm away on long service leave until this date and all the emails I receive before that date are going to get deleted when I get back from long service leave. So if this is important, I suggest you send it again after that date. There are ways to do it. But this message isn't really about time management. It's just about all of that information that is there in our email inboxes, that comes through to our phones by text message, that comes when people ring us on the phone, that's sitting there in our Facebook feed and Messenger, in our Instagram feed and direct messages, in Snapchat, in TikTok, in WhatsApp, in Telegram, in whatever platforms or connection, ways of connection that you use. And then if you turn the TV on and watch that, or if you remember there are these things called newspapers that you could buy and read, YouTube, all the videos you could watch endlessly being produced and released, information overload. You don't need to go anywhere. You could just hide at home and be bombarded by opinions and advice and wisdom. And there's a lot of good things about that. It's not all bad. There's a lot of good in our ultra-connected information overload world. But one of the downsides is that we always have someone else telling us about the world and about how we should live in it. Let me say that again. We always have someone else telling us about the world and how we should live in it. And this is a problem. Because the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, he said, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So even way back then, before Snapchat existed and before email inboxes existed, followers of Jesus still had this problem of the behavior and customs of the world around them, telling them about the world and how they should live in it. And the temptation or the natural inclination was just to copy what they're seeing and what they're hearing from everyone else. But I think we have more of a problem with that today. So we have more access to seeing those things and seeing how many different things there are. So Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote this to followers of Jesus, people who really wanted to honor Jesus with their lives and become like him. He said, don't just copy what you see around you. Don't let the world around you shape you, who you are and how you live. Don't let the opinions, don't let the advice, don't let the wisdom of the wider world shape you so you become like it and like them. Don't let that be the voice you listen to understand the world and how you should live in it. But let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. By receiving his input, his opinions, his advice, his way of seeing the world. And then the result of that will be transformation. You will become to know, you will come to know what God wants for you, how he sees the world that you're in and how he wants you to live in it. You'll get to know the good and pleasing and perfect things that God has for you and for your life. And that sounds pretty good to me. That if I could experience that kind of transformation, if I could be changed in that way, the way that I think and my whole life transformed to know God's will for me, I'd be up for that. I want that. So how can I engage with what God says about the world and how I should live it? One of the main ways we have is that the Bible is a gift from God to reveal what he thinks about the world and how we should live in it. The Bible reveals God's good and beautiful work in the world all throughout human history. And it invites me to join in with that. It invites me to join his redemptive story in the world. The Bible invites me to join God's work and find my place in God's story in the world, in my life and in what he wants me to do with it. Which is why this month, our focus in the Transformation Trek is called Wielding the Bible. Wielding the Bible. Wielding is not the same as welding, even though you would wield a welder, I suppose. Because wielding is what you do to use a weapon or a tool. So a samurai warrior wields a sword. A carpenter wields a hammer. And a teenager wields 0.5 zoom on their phone about this far from your forehead to get the best photos possible. That's what wielding means. The Bible can transform us. It can cause us to become more like Jesus. But we have to wield it for it to have that impact on our life. It doesn't do it magically. If you place a physical Bible under your pillow at night, it's not going to do anything for you. You have to engage with the Bible and wield it, read it, study it, talk about it with friends, because only then can God use the Bible to transform you. This is the second last segment of the Transformation Trek. This year, what we've been focusing on all year is the second part of our mission statement up the top on the wall there. Taking just the second part, believing that's what God wanted us to focus on this year, is us in a growing relationship with Jesus. Say, hey, it's all important, but what I really want you to focus on this year is us in a growing relationship with Jesus. So we've been talking about making time for friendship, to develop us, our community, who we are as God's people. And we've been using the Transformation Trek on Sundays and in small groups because we all want to have this growing, lifelong relationship with Jesus. And it's supposed to be practical. And so this month we're talking about wielding the Bible. And we have a practice guide for this whole month. And you can grab it using that QR code or that link that's on the screen. Some printed copies of the info desk. So a discussion group for small groups or for your family or for your friends. There's some things that you as an individual can take and try and experiment with the Bible. And there's some other resources and things in there that'll see us all the way through the month of October. When it comes to wielding the Bible, you should find a way to engage with the Bible that leads to you understanding it and being transformed by it. Now, a disadvantage for the live stream and people sitting on this side is I have a whole stack of Bibles over here, and I'm just going to grab some of the smaller ones off the top. The Greek New Testament, subtle flex that this lives on the shelf in my office, on my bookshelf, as if I know what any of these words mean. Not a clue. I don't know where I found that, but I thought that'll look good on my bookshelf. And some in other languages as well. But whether you read a physical copy of the Bible, or whether you read the Bible on your phone, or your tablet, or your computer screen, using the Bible app, or using one of the many, many websites that contains the words of the Bible. Or, as some of you do, you don't really enjoy reading, or you don't read that well, and so you listen to the Bible. Again, often using the Bible app, so many of them have audio versions. Some of you still have a collection of CDs in your car that contains the whole Bible read out to you, and I don't know if they ever did it on records. Was the Bible ever an audio record? No one can remember. I don't know. But CDs, definitely. MP3s, the Bible. It's all the same. It doesn't matter whether you're reading ink on a page, or LEDs on a screen, or listening to someone read those words. It's all the same. There's no power in the format. The power is in the story and the truths that we have in the Bible.
And so you have the freedom to choose what is going to work best for me, my personality, the way that I best learn and grow, what is going to suit me the best. And for some of you, it's nostalgia. I grew up reading a physical book, and so that is the most helpful thing for me, is to have the physical book, and it lives next to my bed, and I write in it and draw in it, and that's it for me, and you go for it. Don't let me, who only ever reads the Bible on a screen, tell you that that's wrong, because that's not. You go for it. But have the freedom to experiment and try. What's the best way for me to engage with the Bible? Now, I can read and understand the King James Version of the Bible, which I have a copy of here. For those who can see this, this one down the bottom, 1882, I think this was printed, in the King James Version of the Bible. I can read that, and I can, for the most part, understand that, but oh my gosh, it's hard work for me. Because I didn't grow up speaking that language. No one talked to me like that. I didn't like Shakespeare in school either, because he talks like that, and it's just not the way that I think or read or write or talk. So I can, but it's difficult. Now, because I grew up overseas, I can also read and understand this green one here, the Book Bible in Tokpisin from PNG, but in a really similar way to the King James Version, it just takes a lot of work. Because it's not the language that I first grew up speaking or reading. And so if I sit down with it, I can understand it and it can transform me, but it's going to take a lot more work for it to get from my head to my heart. So what I'm looking for when I'm choosing what kind of Bible, what translation of the Bible am I going to read, I'm looking for a Bible that can quickly get from here to here. Because all the major translations all have the same approach. They all go back to the original texts and copies and fragments that we have and papyrus and things like that. And they're all in ancient languages, ancient Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic and little bits of other things. And they take all those original languages and they say, how can we translate that today into how people think and speak today? And whether that's English or whether that's some of the other languages that are there in that stack. But for you, whether it's something other than English is easiest for you to get from here to here, or it's just a particular style of English, you should have the freedom to experiment and try and see how different ones feel and how easily you can understand them so that the transformation can happen quicker. The power isn't in the ink on the page or in the LEDs on the screen. The power isn't in the literal words that you can see, read, or hear. The power's in the truth, and the power's in the story, and that's what has the power to transform us to become like Jesus. The Bible isn't just a collection of ancient texts that are really nicely translated. It's a living, breathing story that has the power to transform our lives. To begin the letter to the Hebrews, the writer, and we don't know who wrote this particular letter in the New Testament, but the writer says that long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he's spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, this is Jesus. Jesus is the Son, by the way. Through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. And when he, Jesus, had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. All throughout history, God has interacted with human beings. But Jesus didn't appear until much later in human history. So all of these people lived before Jesus with little hints of someone who was to come and something that God was going to do in the future, but all they had was bits and pieces from the prophets. And this is what Brian talked about with us a couple of weeks ago with progressive revelation. That God didn't just appear to Abraham, for example, which is who Brian was talking about, in Genesis in the Old Testament, and just reveal this carbon copy of himself, and this is who I am, and this is how you should understand me, and this is how you should live. in God's own wisdom, he decided not to do that, but he decided to begin a relationship with human beings and humanity, and over time, progressively reveals more of himself until the pinnacle of Jesus. Because Jesus is the carbon copy. It says that, where's that part in the passage? The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. So when I read a normal book, what I like is suspense and intrigue, and I don't know what's about to happen next, but I can tell you that I don't read the Bible wondering if the main character is going to get nailed to a cross. The first time, and I've spoken to people who've read a New Testament gospel for the first time and are just enthralled with the intrigue and suspense. It's beautiful. But that's not the only purpose of that part of the Bible. What I read the Bible for is to understand who God is through Jesus. To see earlier on through the prophets and some of the other interactions, we can get glimpses of God, but the New Testament, Jesus in the Gospels, and then his first followers understanding who he was, that's the real gold for you and I. That's, you know, God spoke in many times, many ways through the prophets, but now we have this record of his Son. All through the Bible, God's been about redemption. All through the Bible, God's been about buying back, reclaiming, fixing, putting to right the broken, damaged, sinful parts of the world and of our lives. He's always been about that. Because the brokenness is not how he intended things to be, it's how it's ended up. And we're part of that. And so God's always been about redemption. The pinnacle is in Jesus. So any part of the Bible I read, I can find myself in God's redemptive story. And so I read the Bible to get that as my opinion, to get that as my advice, to get that as my wisdom and my information. How does God see the world? And how can he, how does he see me? And what does he want for my life and for the world around me? Now, Augustine of Hippo, Saint Augustine of Hippo as we know him, was born in the 4th century and lived for a bit and became a very influential person in Christian history. But for years as a young man, he was just really, really restless with his life and with his faith. He just would kind of drift from thing to thing or pursue all these different things until one day when he was reading the New Testament and all of a sudden it hit him. All of a sudden he found himself and his story within God's bigger redemptive story. All of a sudden he could see himself in the words that he was reading and that small part. He's like, I find myself in this and this is just part of God's big redemptive story. And Augustine was radically transformed in that moment and for the rest of his life. And we know his name and our faith and our Christianity is still influenced by him today because of him finding himself and living in God's redemptive story. Here's what happened that day. That Augustine submitted his main character energy to the real main character. Yeah, we're all the main characters in our own story, right? But why we read the Bible is to understand the bigger story and the real main character. And so we need to keep reading the Bible to keep reminding us of God's redemptive story and keep submitting our main character energy to Jesus, who's the real main character. It's his world we're living in, and it's his story we need to find our place in. So if you find yourself a little lost, if you find yourself a little confused and maybe a little too influenced by others, maybe you need to spend more time with God's big story, revealed in the Bible and made crystal clear in Jesus. Now, when you wield the Bible, not supposed to wield it like a textbook. Not supposed to read it like a textbook. It's not. It's a gift from God, a collection of stories of God's interaction with the world, inspired by him, written and passed down by human beings, and it's meant to transform us, to understand who God is, and to live for him in the world. Don't wield the Bible as a book of rules in your own life or in other people's lives especially, because it's not that. Don't wield the Bible as just another ancient book, because it's not just that. But wield it, use it, engage with it as one of God's biggest, most influential tools to transform your heart and your mind. Because the Bible isn't a passive book. It's alive. It's a living and breathing story. And as a shortcut to that, we sometimes call the Bible the Word of God, which is fine. But when we read what we call the Word of God and we read the Bible, what we find is two things about that. We find that the words of God are contained in the text of the Bible, and we find that Jesus is called the Word of God. So the Bible's not really the Word of God. You can keep calling it that if you want to. But really the Word of God is Jesus. And the Bible contains the story of Jesus, and it contains the words of God. And so if you think about that, so there's the words of God in the Bible and the story of Jesus, the Word of God in the Bible. Let's have a look at this last passage from Hebrews 4, verse 12. It says, for the Word of God, the words of God and Jesus, the Word of God, is alive and powerful, sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, cutting between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he's the one to whom we are accountable. Now, I've told you before about some big and sudden ways that God has used the Bible in my life, in a way that felt like that, like his words were like a sword cutting through me to reveal things in my life. But what's way more common for you and I is much smaller ways. That when we wield the Bible and we read it and study it and talk about it and think about it and engage with it, there's these little ways that we can ignore. We can forget and we can gloss over, to the point where I wanted to tell you a personal story about this today, and I had to go back to my journal to be able to remember some personal stories to tell you because I'd forgotten them. I just had in my head one particular big one, and I've told you that story on other Sundays, and I thought, no, I want a small one, and I'd forgotten. So I had to go back and look through my journal to go, when have I been wielding the Bible and God's used it to transform my mind, to change the way I think? And I found this other passage in Hebrews over and over across the years in my journal. It's not on the screen because I'm not unpacking it for you. I'm just telling you the story. It's also in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. It says, patient endurance is what you need now so that you'll continue to do God's will. And I can remember the season of my life when I first noticed that verse for the very first time. I'd read it before, never paid it any attention, but I remember the really difficult season when I wanted to give up, when I thought I knew what God wanted me to do, but I didn't really want to do it, and I was prepared to let go and let someone else do it. And I found that verse, and it transformed the way I thought. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you'll continue to do God's will. And it's a thought-changing, mind-changing truth that I keep coming back to keep transforming me when I'm not sure if I'm on the right track, when I'm wanting to give up and give it all in, when I want to change direction because that would be easier, when I'm pretty sure God wants me to keep going, but I just feel like it's too painful, to remind myself of the truth that we find in God's redemptive story, that patient endurance is what I need now so that I'll continue to do God's will. Reading the Bible or listening to it isn't enough. We have to wield it. We have to meditate on it. We have to talk about it with friends. We have to study it and understand the original meaning and what it could mean for us today. We've got to wield it because God still uses his words. God still uses the revelation of the Word of God, Jesus, through the Bible to transform our lives today. And so for the rest of this month, for three more weeks, we're going to talk in some more practical ways about how we can wield the Bible. But it begins with a commitment or a recommitment to do so, to commit or recommit to engaging with the Bible, to setting the time aside to read it or to listen to it, to start or continue a plan to read it or to listen to it, to let God use the Bible to transform you. And so I wonder, as you think about today and this next week, once you leave this place, and maybe you'll be back here for some reason in this building, or maybe you'll be with your small group this week, or you'll be serving God in some other way this week, but as you just think about the week to come, how are you going to wield the Bible this week? And maybe first, if I hadn't asked, how were you going to? Would you have picked it up and wielded it this week? But maybe now, with some fresh inspiration, how are you going to wield the Bible this week? For me, I've been reading through Deuteronomy, which is hard going. I've read it quite a few times before, but for some reason at the moment it's hard, and I'd be happy just to jump to, like, you know, Mark or Luke or John would be much more interesting, but it's all part of God's redemptive story. So I'm just going to keep reading. I think I read chapter 13 this morning before I got out of bed. I'll read chapter 14 tomorrow morning before I got out of bed. But I wonder about you. How are you going to wield the Bible this week? Let me lead us in prayer. God, we thank you for the gift we have today of the Bible. We have so much of the Bible, it's coming out our ears. There's so many different translations, not just in English, but whatever is our best heart language, our mother tongue. There's probably, for all of us in the room, at least one, if not many, different versions that we could understand and be transformed by. And we thank you for that gift. This time that we live in, that we can choose to prioritize your advice and your information and your wisdom in our lives over all the other stuff that we could be accessing. And so as we begin this part of the transformation trek in October, I pray that you would inspire us and give us some practical ideas for how we can wield the Bible this week. And I pray that we might start to see the blessing in little moments that we might easily ignore or forget about. We might see those moments of your blessing as you change our thinking through what we're reading and listening to and engaging with. And I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, team.